and this is from the Message version. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. This is the word of the Lord. This summer, you know that we have started the series Braving the Wilderness. Last week, Michelle began it. And it's really talking about braving the wilderness of our heart. Part of braving involves belonging. And here are three truths about belonging. We all need to belong. We all want to belong. But we all have areas of our lives where we don't belong. It's true, isn't it? I know it's true for me, and I know it's true for you too. The bottom line, though, is that God wants us to belong. He wants us to belong to Him. He wants us to belong to each other, and He wants us to belong to ourselves. Belonging, true belonging, though, takes work. It's easy to just talk about belonging, isn't it? But to actually belong is hard work. I recently had coffee with a friend of mine. She's youngish, early 20s, and she had spent the last 18 months in India in a really poor area. And she was telling me how her apartment looked out over a woman who lived outside of the apartment building, and her job was to make cow pies. That's how she supported herself. So for 18 months, this is the view out of her window. And as we're talking, our conversation continued, and she mentioned she'd gone to a debriefing to sort of debrief this experience and help her to make sense of it. And during the debriefing, they used this analogy. You have come from a circle country, and you lived in a square country. You have now come back, but you'll never be a circle the way you were before. You're now a triangle person. And this helped her make sense of her experiences. And she shared this analogy with her mom. Mom, there are circles, there are squares. I've come back, but now I'm not really a circle, I'm a triangle. And her mom said, would you please just go back to being a circle? And we laugh because we get it, but we also feel that ouch, right? That ouch of, oh, you're not recognizing how I don't belong here the way I used to belong. And you want someone to recognize your belongings. I think she longed for her mom to say, wow, to understand and to recognize her triangleness, and to be able to say, wow, what was it like for 18 months not to really be able to communicate well in the market? What was it like to look out and your view is a woman who makes cow pies to support herself? What was it like to move to the other side of the world and basically have your job fall apart within weeks, and you're kind of left trying to figure out what life is going to be like? Instead, her mom said, please belong in a way that makes sense to me. That's not really what belonging is. Last week, Michelle talked about trailblazing. Remember how she talked about how John the Baptist was a trailblazer and Jesus was a trailblazer? And that trailblazing involves the overgrowth and the paths that we have to forge. Well, today we're going to talk about part of this path of trailblazing involves belonging. Brené Brown, in her book, Braving the Wilderness, included a quote from Dr. Maya Angelou. And when she first heard this quote, Brené really did not like it. So I'm going to share it with you and see what your reaction is. Dr. Maya Angelou said, you are only free when you realize you belong no place. You belong every place. No place at all. The price is high. The reward is great. I don't know if, at first when I read that, I was more like, huh, than really disagree. So I'm going to read it again. You are only free when you realize you belong no place. You belong every place. You belong no place at all. The price is high. The reward is great. As I reflected on it, this quote really does touch deeply. It talks about how we want to be free. We are free when we belong. And we all want to be free in our lives, don't we? It also talked about the rewards that come with belonging, and we all can resonate with those rewards and wanting those rewards. It also talks about how true belonging comes at a price, and we recognize that that's true in life as well. The part that Brené really did not like was where Dr. Maya Angelou said, "You belong no place." How is belonging no place belonging? Brené Brown said, I understand the part where you belong every place. That part I understand, but she did not like the belonging no place. And really was like, what does that mean? What does it mean to belong no place? Well, to answer that, I'm going to show you something and ask you to tell me what it is. What is this?
Rubber ducks.
Rubber ducks. It is a pair of ducks. A pair of ducks. A paradox. Yeah. According to the dictionary, and I know you know the dictionary definition, but I'm going to read it. A paradox is a statement that is seemingly contradictory or opposed to common sense, and yet perhaps it is true. So it seems contradictory that to belong, we have to belong no place, and we have to belong every place. But it's true. So to help us visualize this, we have the no place duck. See, little no place duck has nothing on it. But every place duck has sort of been scribbled on, because every place duck has been every place. Here is the mysterious part of belonging. True belonging involves both no place and every place. Now, we are Americans, most of us in this room, and if not, most of us are from the West, where we have been trained to think dichotomistically. Something is this or that. You're either a Republican or a Democrat. You're a Bronco fan or you're not. You belong or you don't. This line of thinking, though, it limits the mystery and the power of belonging. Paul understood this paradox about belonging, and he knew that the Corinthians needed to understand it also. So we read that part of Paul's letter today, and he said, God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. This passage sounds so kumbaya and lovely, doesn't it? I mean, we can all nod, yes, everywhere, everywhere, that's so beautiful. And read by itself, it is a beautiful passage. But when we look at the broader context, we see that Paul is not talking about holding hands with each other and humming. He's not. He's talking about both the importance and the challenge of belonging to something that's bigger than ourselves. It's challenging because we have the potential to rank what makes us belong. In chapter 12, Paul is laying the groundwork that we need variety in the body. He talks about variety of gifts, variety of service, variety of work. He spends a lot of time talking about the need for variety to the point where we almost like want to roll our eyes and go, Paul, we get it, thank you. Variety is important. Move it along. But we realize once we get to chapter 14, the reason he is hammering this part so much is because the Corinthians said, oh, all of the gifts are important. But that's not what they actually believed. They believed that some of the gifts were more important than other gifts. And in particular, they thought if you prophesied or if you spoke in tongues, wow, you really belonged. You were part of the cool club. And it's interesting, in the midst of this, Paul said one of his most quoted passages, and I know you're going to be familiar with this. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice with wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. What are you doing, Paul? Why are you talking about love suddenly in the middle of this other discussion? It's because love and belonging are woven together. In the short run, it's a lot easier to rank than to love, isn't it? I know it's true in my own life. It's a lot simpler to rank than to love. Belonging can be messy, time-consuming, and costly. Today at Applewood Valley, we might not value the same things that the Corinthians did. We might not think it's so wonderful to speak in tongues or to prophesy. But that doesn't mean that ranking can't slip into our thinking as well. Today we might ask questions like, how many people attended? How many views did this article get? How many people liked something on Facebook or commented or shared? These are too often our default metrics. Last week, from this pulpit, we heard statistics that there are more Methodist churches involved in Habitat for Humanity than any other denomination. Surely this cannot be a bad thing. It's not. But ranking leads us down the path of pseudo-belonging. And pseudo-belonging sees the surface. True belonging sees the nuances and the depths. What struck me as I studied the four verses that we read today was the last phrase. So I'm going to read it again in the ESV version and pay attention to the last phrase. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Look at how Paul's line of thinking builds on itself. We have a variety of gifts for a variety of service. This service results in a variety of activities in the world for God. Why? For the common good. I love this. Ultimately, it's not about what gift I have or what service you have or how we work together in the world for God. Those specifics are not important. Instead, God is pushing us deeper. Is this gift, is this service helping the common good? And is it manifesting God at work in the world? I do not have all of the gifts, which means I cannot belong in all places. I don't belong on this stage if you ask me to sing a solo. If you were to say, would you like me to sing a solo? I would say, no, you don't want me here on any stage. I have what Scott might call a choir voice. So I can sing, but not up here by myself. Last week, my friend Erin was bubbling when she was talking about Vacation Bible School, and she was helping on the meal team that helped prepare. And I don't know if you remember, Erin, what I said. But I said, that sounds awful. I do not have the gift of hospitality. And though I can cook, I obviously have not made it this far in life without figuring how to feed myself. I don't enjoy cooking for others. Now, this is a silly example, because the truth is, whether I belong in the kitchen or not, I don't really care. That's not a deep issue to me. But what about those places in our lives where we do care if we belong? What about those places in my life where I care if I belong? I have never been married, I have no children, and I have a job that does not come with a simple title, like teacher or engineer, retired or stay-at-home mom. I'm comfortable with all three of these facts. I'm okay that I'm single, that I have no children, and that I have a quirky job. But they can lead to awkward moments in conversation, which at times leaves me feeling like I'm on the outside of a club. I was on a committee at church, and that committee was praying for the committee member's family. And it was added, don't forget to pray for Amy Young. Even though she's single, she has a family too. Pray for her. At least once a month, a friend or an acquaintance will send me a job posting and reference that they're sharing with me because I don't have a job. It bothers me at times that people think I'm unemployed, but I know the truth. I am employed. It just doesn't look like many other jobs. My dad died 4 years ago, and I can remember walking around the first floor of St. Anthony's Hospital. I was on the phone talking with a friend, and through tears, I said, I have completely misplayed my life. It is too late to have children. Who is going to take care of me when I'm old? I see how my sisters and I are here at this hospital because our father is dying, and we are here to be a part of this. And my friend wisely said, Amy, you and your sisters are there not simply because it is one of your parents who is dying. You are there because your father has invested in all of you. And through that investment, you belong to each other. You have invested in other people. You belong to other people. You will not be alone when you are dying. Let's return to this paradox about belonging no place and every place. Paul and Dr. Maya Angelou are not saying, make peace with the fact that you are not invited to a super cool club. That's exclusion. That's not belonging. Exclusion is very different than belonging no place. That's not what Paul is talking about. When you belong no place, it is because your belonging is unique to you. You belong, but in a way that nobody else belongs. And we all need to have a place where we belong, no place, where our belonging is unique. However, we also belong every place, because every place is a part of a bigger story. And this is where our belonging joins up with other people's belongings. Recently, Applewood Valley has had several places of every place, with Vacation Bible School coming together. The choir is an example of every place. Habitat for Humanity is where our belonging joins together, and we are part of the common good in the world. We need both. The paradox, the pair of ducks of belonging, the way that God defines it, is that we do belong no place, and we belong every place. Like the Corinthians, we can get off course and we can rank our belonging. We can rank our gifts, saying that some gifts are more valuable, some are more needed, some are more beneficial for belonging. But that is not true. That is not the way God talks about belonging. That's the way false pseudo-belonging is talked about, not true godly belonging. This week, as you reflect on this message, as you reflect on what the Corinthians needed to hear about belonging, as you reflect on what we need to hear about belonging, look in your life for where you belong no place, where your belonging is unique, and you belong there. Also look in your life where you belong everywhere, where your belonging lines up with other people's belongings, and you are a part of belonging everywhere. Pay attention to these. Maybe you will notice that your no place duck is smaller than your every place duck. That's okay. Change begins by noticing. Or perhaps you have no everywhere duck because you have isolated yourself from community and you only belong no place. To truly belong, you need both ducks. None of us have two perfectly proportioned ducks. We're all in process. Our gifts may change over our lives. Where we serve may change. Where we belong may change. But God's desire to be present in this world is the same today as it was when Paul wrote to the Corinthians. God longs for you to belong no place and every place. Thanks be to God.
You'll just remain seated this morning, and we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 3 of number 451 as our hymn of response, number 451.